This is It Just Takes One. One person, one experience, one idea, one moment to change your life. Here's what's coming up on today's show.
I use running to help balance out other parts of my life that were sinking and help pull me up so that you know, we're balanced out in life, and to actually prove to myself that resilience counts, tenacity and fortitude can move you forward even, you know, through the hardest times.
I am so excited for this episode today. I actually think I started thinking about this interview about 3 years ago. That's when I first started working with Karen Ware on her book project. And today I am so happy to share with you that Karen Ware is the best-selling author of Finding Fit, What Running Through an Arduous Childhood and a Remote Marathon on Every Continent Can Help You Find. Karen and I started working on this book about, I think, 3 years ago. And she started by telling me her story that she had run a marathon on every continent. So just think about that for a moment. That means she ran here in North America, she ran in South America, she ran in Australia, Japan. She also ran in Africa and Antarctica and in the Himalayas. She has had some extraordinary experiences around the world with her running. But in addition to that, which is remarkable in itself, she is also a USA track and field champion, masters champion, and she runs the heptathlon and several other events for USA track and field. So she has that as well. And she also has her own business, helping create events and running events in different parts of the country. And so running has been an integral part of her life. And you hear about that in the book. But even beyond that, as Karen has been running these marathons on all these continents and traveling the world, she has been very open to meeting people and to helping people in the areas and communities that she's running in. So she has created these relationships with people all over the world who have had different needs that she's been able to help fulfill or fundraise to help fulfill. And so there is this philanthropic story that runs through this book as well and through Karen's life. And I think when you hear her and get a chance to hear our conversation, you're going to feel and see immediately the heart that she has for helping people. And that heart came not only because it was part of her makeup, but because of the childhood that she experienced and the challenges that she had as she was growing up and how they really helped to form her value of how important people are and how important it is to develop relationships with people and to help people when and where and how you can, no matter what. Her story is extraordinary. I've been working with her for several years on it, and I can tell you, I have enjoyed every single moment. But there was a moment when this was actually out in print and I was able to read what we had worked on from cover to cover. And I couldn't put the book down. And I mean that sincerely, even though I had helped her craft it and edit it and develop what we were going to put in it and helped her with, you know, getting it organized and getting it ready. Still, the moment that I had the chance to read it cover to cover, I couldn't put it down. And there were moments I was in tears, and there were moments where I wanted to jump up and cheer and shout and celebrate with her. And I said, it actually reads like a movie. As I was reading it, I kept seeing it on a big screen, almost playing out like a movie that we would all want to watch. It's a story of overcoming adversity. It's a story of becoming the person that you always wanted to be. It's the story about setting goals and doing what it takes to achieve them. It's a story about dreaming of things that don't seem possible, and yet they do come true. And it's the story about caring. It's the story about how all of us here in the world are here to help and support each other. And it is people like Karen who help us remember that. I can't wait for you to hear the interview. So I'm going to sit back and let you listen in as Karen Ware shares more of her story. Karen, I think I have been waiting for this moment for probably 2 years. I'm so excited to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm excited to be here. And same. In lots of ways, I'm excited to have met you all those years ago in the process of writing this book, because I've been writing the stories of my life in my heart, in my head, you know, with my mom's talent and her voice, and how to collaborate all these life stories in this life journey is daunting for someone that doesn't even know. So you're amazing. Thank you.
Well, it's been a wonderful collaboration, the two of us. We've been working on your book for a couple of years, and I am literally holding it in my hand. I think you have a copy there that you're holding in your hand as well. We've gotten to the finish line, which is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. And I can't wait to dive in, not just to the book, but to your story, because I'm looking forward to letting people learn a little bit more about you and this amazing life that you're leading and finding your fit. Let's start right there, actually, finding fit. The name of the book is Finding Fit, What Running Through an Arduous Childhood and a Remote Marathon on Every Continent Can Help You Find. Why that title? Why did you choose, of all the words and titles that we brainstormed through the years, why Finding Fit?
Because what I wanted people to know is that life is an adventure and a journey, and it has so many ups and downs. And I wanted to bring people through the things that make life the miracle that it is, and let them know that there's fortitude, tenacity, and there's hard things that we handle. But if we can choose and pick healthy things to pull us through, that we can get through life. And so it's not so much that there's a formula out there, it actually is a finding. And I think I told you that finding kind of has that feeling of discovery and of like looking for Easter eggs. And there's a joy even in the hardships in of time. So that's why I called it Finding Fit, because in going after fitness, I was finding so many other things that were so much more valuable than just a fit body.
And we're going to get into some of those as we get into the book. Do you mind if I read just a little bit of what you wrote about what finding fit means to you?
That'd be awesome.
This is literally on page 2 of the book. So you start off kind of helping the reader understand what this journey is going to be. And you say, as you just said, finding fit is the act of discovering a conclusion reached as the result of inquiry, investigation, and trial. It also alludes to a sense of surprise, like the joy in discovering hidden Easter eggs. Even the hard stuff in life is worth discovering, because finding it means it is no longer lost, buried in a lack of understanding that muddies life. Lost means unable to find one's way, not knowing one's whereabouts. You will find me lost in many ways in this book, but you will also discover that I find a path that goes somewhere. It comes from within. We can rescue our own lives. Finding fit is the meaning of sculpting new narratives that provide a sense of coherence around everything sad and wonderful in our lives. Finding means looking and searching and finally reclaiming what once was lost in us. Finding we fit by finding how to be fit is a formula for an energized and rewarding direction. Purposing our lives to be up and running is the healthiest way to live. Not down, but up. Not lost, but found. Not broken, but running. Working properly and in shape, putting all those puzzle pieces together to know you fit perfectly. This is when we are at our healthiest best, and the journey is quite worth it. Finding fit is that kind of journey.
That says it all. Thank you. I've been told that I'm a woman that can say 10,000 words, but I can write, 100 or 1,000 and really put it into a story form. And so what I hope in this book is that, people will resonate with each chapter, each story, because they're a life situation in among itself. And it's the kind of book that I like to read, where it's real. It's a real thing that, someone lived through. And it's gives me real perspective, and I can put it on the shelf and read it, in the evening, and then pick up the next chapter. And I wrote it in a way that I love to read books.
Yeah, it really is. It covers so many different arenas. And let's start at the surface level, and then we're going to dive deeper into where this book goes. Because on the surface, when you're looking at it and you're hearing Finding Fit and you're seeing a runner, this book is about running. There is this running component. You are a USA National Masters champion runner and got your gear on as well. And you've run a marathon on 7 continents, which I want to hear more about too, and we want to share with the readers. But tell us about running. When did you even begin running? And how has running become such an important component in your life?
And the reason I think I took so many of those first chapters through childhood is because that's where we, gear into who we are and why we are and all those components to us. And they had an announcement at school that there was going to be a jogathon. And the PTA committee of parents were all excited, and they're on a stage, and they were holding up this big, super duper oversized sugar daddy. And they said, whatever student here at the school runs the most laps will win the sugar daddy prize. And I don't know why it captivated me. I was a very shy and struggling, child, but I thought, I can do this. And even as shy as I was, I went door to door to door, and I picked a different route home in every direction that I could get home in the month that preceding before the jogathon, knocked on doors, and then didn't take it personally if they said no. But I thought, if I do enough of them, and what did that teach me? It taught me to interact with people. It taught me the basis for entrepreneurship. And then on jogathon day, I was geared and for it. And when we started running those laps, and I just knew we were going to run a lot of laps, my head comprehended that we were going to just run as many laps as we possibly run. So when the bell rang and the whole school went back inside, I still was running laps. And when they came back out for recess, Karen was still running laps. And when they went back in and came back for lunch, I was still running laps, because my head said it's whoever runs the most laps at the end of the school day. And in that lunch break, all the kids started running with me, and they're congratulating me and they're cheering me on. And it's the same concept that we get to create in full marathons and any arduous endeavor that we do, that we put ourselves forward. And I became a different person in the eyes of those kids. I became the runner chick. The running girl, okay, Karen can run. And it gave me a sense of purpose, but it was more than the running. It was what it taught me inside to just keep on going. So that was my first running experience.
And I love how you tied in, even as you're telling the story, of the seeds that got planted that bloomed later in your life, like being able to interact with people, not taking it personally when they said no, learning how to, be an entrepreneur and that go get them, take it to the end, do the best you can and keep going kinds of attitudes, which came out in the story of running, but actually bloomed in so many other ways in your life. Absolutely. So you took running, you kept running, you literally ran in so many different directions. And at one point, you made a decision that you were going to start running marathons. Tell us about why the marathon became a goal and then how that actually progressed into doing a marathon on every continent.
So there's a some choice chapters in the middle of the book called The Belmont Boys and A Miracle Brewing. And I ended up making running my career. And so I ended up developing software and all of the equipment and everything we need to put on running races so that when people arrived, there's a database and they had bibs and they were attached to them. And when they ran through the finish line, I could give them their stats. And I recognized at one of the races, a skinny little small boy in worn out shoes came out of the bushes and jumped into the race and came in second overall. And then as I tried to go see who he was, he died behind the bushes and another boy came out in the same worn out shoes and ran the 10K. And you'll have to just read the most incredible, endearing story about the Belmont Boys. But because they were newcomers here in the United States, struggling to make their way, I worked with them and got them into college and got them student visas. But the day they graduated, they went back to having to deal with papers and stuff. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to travel the world on your behalf, in your stead, for my experiences to be your experiences and share with you that there's other cultures all over the world. There's Aborigines in the outback, and there's Quechuas in the Andes Mountains, and there's these porters that live for the job to be able to carry all that weight up to the top of Kilimanjaro in Africa. And it just evolved into not a pursuit of going after marathons, but a pursuit of going after cultures. And so I made a commitment to them. I'm going to run as remote as I can on every continent, including Antarctica. And then people said, so what culture are you going to do in Antarctica? Penguins, whales? There is a set of Russians that have to crew those ships and be on those boats for 9 months out of the years of their life. And they are a culture in themselves. And so you're going to read about Sergey number 9. You're going to read about not running per se. You're going to get that. And hopefully what you're going to get out of it is just a blooming desire to get out there and put one foot in front of the other and make an adventure out of your life. And you don't have to be a competitive, athletic, top end runner. Everybody out there has something that their body can do, and motion just gets emotion going. It gets all kinds of things, going. So that's the gist of, and my hope in this book is that those stories just spellbound you, pull you along, and then give you the confidence that every single one of us is a champion of our own lives.
Yeah. And as you're listening, I'm glad, Karen, that you said that. As you're listening out there, we start off talking about running. And I can imagine that there are some listeners that are saying, but I'm not, I don't run, I can't run, whatever. And I want you to start hearing that it was a door that opened to so many other things. And Karen, what you just described there is how it gave you a way to share your heart. One of the things I've learned about you in the time we've worked together is this incredible giving spirit that you have, and the way that you thrive when you are able to help somebody. And it started perhaps with the Belmont Boys, and you'll read the incredible journey that those boys had because they had the opportunity to work with Karen, and Karen, the incredible experience you had by being with them. But you're also going to read about the Russians that she met on the ship to Antarctica, and Karen also about the Aborigines in Australia and about the people in Nepal and the people at Kilimanjaro in Africa. Can you tell a little bit more about some of those relationships that you've built and how you've been able to give to them?
I think too, the incredulous thing that happens when you put yourself out there. There's so much for you to learn and to connect with other people in other places. And in all this running around, you'll hear that I ran in Japan to be my Asian continent marathon. And there's a reason why that didn't count. You're going to have to go see why it didn't count. And I started researching on the computer, how am I going to rectify that Asian marathon didn't count? And way tucked away, way up as high as Everest Base Camp is, was a little email that says, Everest Marathon. I go, you got to be kidding me. When I was that little girl running all those laps, I also, my mom got a door-to-door salesman and bought encyclopedias back then in the day. And we'd get like one a month. And so every month I would just read through, you know, somewhat the pictures, but I'd read through it. And I was in the H's, and there's the Himalayas. And the Himalayas and the Nepalese, and I go, there's a whole culture that's just connected by trekking on trails, not by automobiles, not by, I've got to know who these people are. And so this all brought that all together to be able to fulfill that, you know, getting to meet him. And how much better can you know the people that are you're traveling with, to compete with, you know, in a marathon. It doesn't really matter what time you finish in that marathon. It matters that you got to finish and that you went across that terrain. But it's more about the people that you get to meet along the way. And so I left knowing that I had researched the culture, and I put their currency in the pockets of my backpack in 5s and 10s and 20s, and not to, you know, shower things to them, but just give them, you know, a little help and hope for that day, a yak herder, a young mom with the infant child, elderly, you know, that don't have retirement base like we have, and never said a word about it, but the word spread by word of mouth through that whole valley. And so I got to meet people on a personal way. And that's, you know, part of the great journey. You're going to see that there's things that happen in my life, and there's things that happen in a lot of people's life, losses you never expected, you know, calm tsunamis. You know, it doesn't have to be a physical tsunami. It can be an emotional, financial, it's going to be something. If we live life, there's going to be those in our lives. And what I hope this book lets people travel through is what we do with them and where we take them. And we are our best resource to pull our own selves up by our own bootstraps. And in all honesty, sometimes we are the only resource to do that. So my hope and help in this book is to empower us and inspire us to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, you know, when life knocks us down, to find ways to put one foot in front of the other and add things in that make our life fulfilling and enhancing. But also in that process, to develop this biggest muscle in our body that I have found and that I hope you find in reading Finding Fit is our heart. And if we add in that ability to open up our eyes and reach down and pull somebody up that is knocked down in life by their bootstraps, what a better life we live, what a better earth we have, what a better people we are, you know, that kind of story. Help and hope. And it doesn't have to be anything major. It's one step, one person at a time.
Yeah, so beautiful. And listeners, you'll read so many stories of these encounters that you have, Karen, with people in different cultures, and more than one way that you help them, and that contribution. And I think it is inspiring for all of us to think about, what can we do? What can we do in our community? What can we do in our family? What can we do in our day-to-day that makes a difference? And like you said, one small thing for one person is all it takes, and keep putting it in front of the other. You also alluded to the next layer, which I want to get to, which is the book is actually laid out. The front of the book is, for the most part, your personal story. And then there's a moment where it starts to shift, and then you start to hear about the marathons and the running and how these interactions with the other cultures happen. But you started to talk a little bit about the front part of the book, the deeper story. Because running not only became a door open to helping other people and to meeting other people in other cultures and bringing gifts of yourself and your heart to others, but it was also a way to run away from some of the challenges that you had in your childhood. So share a little bit with the readers about the type of arduous childhood that you experienced and how running became a way to handle what you were experiencing.
I think I see this also, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. And I offer CareAware events and I put on running races so that there is a sense of, if there's not a sense of community in their family or their home or their town, you can make a sense of community in yourself in sports. And I found that sports has a lot to offer in building personal character. And no matter what you're dealing with, you know, because of experience in sports, I can handle that. I can push myself through that. I can find a way to get myself to the finish line. I can resolve that. So I use sports to be the what do you call it, in a sailboat, the catalyst. That I used running to help balance out other parts of my life that were sinking and help pull me up so that you know, we're balanced out in life, and to actually prove to myself that resilience counts, tenacity and fortitude can move you forward even, you know, through the hardest times. And I had an incredible mom that also had to live through an incredible life, and I wanted to give her voice in a story. And I think we agreed we're going to seal the end of this book with one line. I am the book my mom never got to write. And so we want to be voices, and we want to have our lives be told, because we learn so much more by knowing that someone doesn't necessarily go through the exact same thing, but someone has triumphed to pull themselves out of something that probably should have devastated them and left them in the darkest pit of life. And it is in all the places that you can travel to on earth, the darkest pit of life is a place that no one really wants to be. And it's a place that we don't want to be left in, or we don't want to leave other people in. And by bringing them through the hard parts of my life, I hope I show them how that there is the option to crawl out. There is the option to reach above, rise, and just keep looking for what it is inside of you that makes you enjoy this life and turn it into an event.
Yeah. And I think listeners, as you read the book, you're going to see that. I think sometimes, Karen, we see somebody and we see their success and we hear, you know, they're traveling the world and they're doing all these things, and you think, oh, they've just, you know, got it easy and everything's very good for them. And so I love when an author takes the opportunity to really share the authenticity, vulnerable.
Thank you. It's a hard thing to write.
It's so hard to write about it.
It's what connects the reader, right?
It's what the reader will read and say, oh, I may not have experienced that exact same thing, but I see the challenges she faced that are parallel to the challenges I face. And I see some of the ways that she found her way to
you're going to see me in this book go through a very unexpected and very devastating divorce. My family, you're going to find in there that my own family meant the world to me. So to lose it was up there with the grief and loss of losing, you know, a loved one. It had a devastating, you know, effect, and it left me, you know, out in what I, and you'll read a chapter called In the Middle of Nowhere. And that, you know, whole process, I thought rather than hide that, I need to show people what that is really like and how to get to the other sides of our lives. So So yeah. that's in there, you know, that's and I wrote a chapter that I think will really, I use an allegory of a very famous and incredible climb and summit experience that went awry. And that's what divorce was felt like. And it's a chapter called Touching the Void.
And it's exactly what I just opened to. You must be reading my mind. It is one of my very favorite chapters in the book. It's one of my very favorite writings that I've read, this particular chapter.
Touching. And you said that when I sent you the chapter.
Yeah.
And that, it's, and the, then me,
the integration of how you paralleled it with that movie was really profound.
And very real. And the situation that they got into was very real. And I wanted people to feel the intensity and the loss in the dire situation. And it's a survival situation. So many things that get, you know, pull us off our feet. We need to not discredit that they're not, you know, as big as putting our lives on the line, because they're happening to us.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me read just a couple of paragraphs here of what happened in that chapter, just to kind of tie together what you're saying. It says, what does it feel like to have everything you own burned and to be given up on before you really died? The level for needed forgiveness in this real story is acute. This is also true of divorce. It took years for the climbers to reconcile, and more years, almost a decade, for my divorce to even find tiny finger holds and foot placements of forgiveness. I did not realize my journey from divorce to completing the 7-continent marathons would be equivalent to a crawl across a glacier with the injuries I was dragging with me. I had already determined that my quest to do remote marathons on each continent with Indigenous people and their stories would be funded not by my established business, but by money I earned the hardworking way, delivering packages for UPS, coaching high school track teams, getting cast as extras in commercials, working at coffee roaster shops. My journey to run those last marathons, compete on all 7 continents, and stand on a world competition podium would require endurance, setbacks, some pain, yet many grand joys. Finding a stream of melting water to quench a much needed thirst, or finding a stick to help walk and prop up a broken leg would be required of me. It is about overcoming and using the only things you have, mainly yourself.
Wow. Hey, that was well said. Better like the same words.
I wrote that.
I'm so grateful that it is in print, and that story is just out there. Someone told me, this is not a book. This is not something that I'm selling in, you know, a how to, you know, get fit. This is a story of just life living.
Yeah, absolutely right. You mentioned your mom, and I'd like to just share a little bit more about her, because she was such an important person in your life, and she had some incredible gifts. And in many ways, she wasn't able to fully reach her potential. And yet her spirit lives on in you, without a doubt. So tell us a little bit more about your mom. And then I'd love to share the story of the moment that boats sink.
Thank you. Thank you. You're going to find that, you know, your childhood is very much made up of the players in your life, your siblings, your parents, and how they choose to operate and live their lives. And my mom came from a very neglected and rejected background. And she was actually born of a teenage mother that had a one-night stand on an Indian reservation, hitchhiking across the nation to California, and came up pregnant. So the marks against my mom were, she was a half-breed, Native Indian. She was left in that back then they didn't have foster care or whatever, but she was left in a child care home where a woman would take $5 a day, and she had, it sounds like she had about 30 children in this house that she was just housing. And here's my little, you know, little toddler mom. And two ladies from a Baptist church would see her looking out the fence. When she got old enough, she figured out how to unlatch it. And she would walk the sidewalk on the happy day that everyone was going down the sidewalk towards this building. And it was a Baptist church. And that Baptist church actually raised my mom, those two senior citizen ladies. We have no idea who they are. But I think what they did is gave her the gift of love and help and hope. And they taught her to read. And so my mom had this incredible professional ability to see in the eyes and hearts of people. She was a professional photographer, and she was a gifted writer also. So she in very little and subtle ways, you'll see through the book, gave us a gift that money can buy. It didn't matter that my mom was raised poor and only had one pair of shoes and a dress. It didn't matter because, again, our heart is more valuable than the biggest gem that we could carry. And that's the thing, gift that she gave and the message she wanted her children to learn.
Yeah.
There are so many stories of you that you share in the book of you being able to be with her in moments where she was very challenged. Certainly her relationship with your father was a very challenging one. In many ways, it stifled her ability to write in one circumstance and in other ways to be creative. But there is a moment where you get a phone call and you find out that when you go to pick her up at the hospital that she has cancer. Can you tell a little bit about that day?
Yeah, so that's why we named it. You know, what's the name of the chapter when boats sink
and foundations crack?
When foundations crack, because we went through so much. We went through so much, you know, trying to make that be a family that was not, you know, workable. And she had to, you know, move on and support herself as a single, you know, single woman. And she let me know that she found a place to rent in LA that was close to a job that she got. And so when I got there, it was a boat in Marina Del Rey. And it wasn't any boat. It was a fishing boat, not like a, you know, nice yacht or whatever. And she was able to rent it because the owner realized that he had to pay monthly dock fees and his idea of making money fishing didn't materialize. So he needed someone to help. So she put all her earthly belongings that she would need to work this professional photography job for this company that she was doing and commuted from Marina Del Rey to downtown LA, you know, where she worked. She never let us know that she was in the hospital. When I went there to pick her up, I went into John Wayne. I went into the regular hospital, St. John's, and they said, "Oh, I'm sorry, she's not here. She's across the way." And I'm walking across the way and it says John Wayne Cancer Institute. And I went, oh man, they must be over full here because they took her. I thought she was just having a standard hysterectomy. And so when I went to pick her up, the nurse said, oh no, your mom has stage 4 cancer. And so that was life shock in itself. It was a big rainy week that she was there. And so I had to drive her back. And so we drive to Marina Del Rey. And I open the gate and I'm helping her, you know, feeble body and we're going along and she stops at this empty slot where, you know, there were all the other boats were all, you know, what do you call them, anchored in. And she looks around and she sits down on the side and starts dabbling her feet. And she pats and has me sit down next to her. And I go, what are we doing? She goes, this is my boat. And I go, where? And I see the ropes go down and we both look over. And the week that she was in the hospital, the boat sank with everything she owned, you know, that was valuable in it. And so you have to read the book and find the response my mom had to that situation in life and what that taught me sitting there, dangling my feet with my mom reaching over and squeezing my hand. and us looking down at every earthly thing that she owned that was valuable on the bottom of the ocean.
And the giggling and how yes. she started giggling.
And she knew that material things had no value, and that what had value in life were the lines that you write on the lives of other people. And that was the message that she was giving. I mean, I'm going to cry telling you about it. That was the message that she was giving to me. And is that more valuable than anything that could possibly have sunk and got ruined in that salty water on the bottom of that sea? Yes.
Yes, 100%. You write it here. To this day, I cannot think about that moment on the dock in Marina Del Rey without a glimpse of what is truly rich and valuable. I am so grateful I got to have my life garden watered by my mom. Though the years after my dad divorced her were not wealthy, they were rich in something money could not buy. You know the saying, stop and smell the roses? My mom did. And people were the best roses to her. If they hadn't budded yet, even more reason to stop and notice, befriend them, and watch them grow. One out of one of us die. Eventually, we all will. We sincerely cannot take any of this earth's material things with us. So, are the valuable nuggets of life something intrinsic, something felt or shared, not something owned, not a thing, but an experience? I was learning that to be so. That day on the dock was the start of a struggle for my mom's life. It was a war that stage 4 cancer said she would not win. But she had already won the bigger battle. She knew what was meaningful to her life. And what more could you ask for?
Well said.
Isn't it interesting to have it?
Yeah.
Your own words read back. It feels different.
Yes.
Isn't it? There's another moment that ties into this that was the moment in your book that I first cried. And this was the first time I read it. And actually, when I got it again as the actual book, I cried again. And it goes right to this point, because there was the moment when she went to the hospital for the last time. And whoever was with you said, go get whatever you're going to need, go pack your case. And she was gone for a few minutes, and she came back with just this little doll bag, the recognition that this was her last time, and the realization that there really was nothing that she could bring with her. Tell us about that.
Yes. Yes. So my grandmother, her mother, she was hardcore, and there's a history in just who she was as a lady and her sister. But my mom wasn't. And as life and time went by and my grandma matured to a older woman, she got this life that her daughter knew about, this heart, this, that there's something, bigger in that. And during her cancer, my grandmother said, don't rob me of the chance to remother a child I never got to. This is a beautiful moment that God is allowing me to have. And she warriored, side by side with my, sat with my mom through her, battle with cancer. And it was devastating to her. And my grandma kept insisting, when we knew that we were going to have to take her back to the hospital to find the time, honey, because she didn't know what to do. Honey, get your things. Honey, get your things. You need to get ready. We're going to go. And beyond my grandma, my mom was giving me those eyes, the same look that she gave me when we were sitting on the side of the dock. I can't take anything with me. That's of no value. So finally, she took the action, which was very hard for her weak and frail body at that time, to go into the bedroom, do something, and come back out with this little, it was like a little travel, like you said, a little travel makeup kit, and it had, travel pictures on it, but it was a fake suitcase. And I go, Mom, that's it. And she goes, this is all I can take with me. And I go, well, let me carry it. Oh, no, it's all I can take with me. And she was just giving me that look that life isn't about all the things that we have, the chairs and the sofas and all that stuff. It's about something bigger, something better, something more. And I totally forgot in the process of all the urgencies that came up in having her in ICU and in the hospital about that suitcase. So in the book, I'm going to have to go read and find out when the hospital called me and said I had to come get her things. And I thought she didn't have anything. And I went back and got that suitcase. So I'm going to leave it at that so that I leave the readers that are going to turn into runners and the runners that are going to read for the first time. Because by the way, you have to be patient with this, but we're going to get it on Audible so that while you're out there running, you have no excuse to read this book. It's going to be all different formats. And by the way, Kelly, you are a gifted reader. I mean, I'm hanging on the words that you're reading in my own words, and it beautifully well said, because it comes from a talented woman, a talented heart. So I'm going to let you go read that story of legacy and see what you think was in that suitcase.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a lot more in this book. So listeners, that intrigues you, but there are so many other good stories and deep insights. Karen, one of the things that I have found working with you and getting to know you is, it isn't just a surface level story. There's this meaning and this deeper purpose under it that you are able to recognize and write about. And so readers, go and get the book, because you're going to learn a lot, you're going to feel a lot, and you're going to take something away from this that it's going to get your life in a different place. It's going to make your life better. So I encourage you to go out and get it. But Karen, tell them what is next. You mentioned the Audible book. What else is ahead for you?
So I think I love to write, and I'm so grateful for The Voice. And there are books already in the making there'll be a sequel to this Finding Fit, because we call it Living Well. I call it Living While Making a Living. Is don't wait until the end of life. You don't know if you're going to get it. You know, like you'll see that my mom didn't. You need to be doing every day. And so in that process, I just love running into people, running into things, running around the world. There's so many more places. You know, I hit the 7 continents in a remote way, and that only touched the iceberg, because there's Iceland. So what's next is I'm going to keep on running. I'm going to run right out of this life, everybody. And I'm going to run into, you know, small remote races in different places. There's so many more stories that couldn't fit in this book. And the book is actually, you're going to get it and go, well, this is intimidating. It's long. I haven't had anyone yet say, I got tired of the book and I never finished it. I had everyone say, I could hardly wait till I finish it. But I also have people saying, I'm digesting it slowly. I don't want the book to end. I feel like I'm reading through a great movie, because a great movie has all the things and emotions and things that we have in life. And that's what I tried to put into the book. So that's exciting for me. And I have a self-help book that's coming out called Snared, Trapped by My Own Ignorance, What Happens to Kind, Kind of People. Because there's situations that no matter how much I pump up my life and how much I go and put enhancements in it and I sum it, if I have things that are entangle me or things that need to be learned from and that are things that are pulling life down, I need to take a good hard look at those also. So that's going to be really, really a good thing for me to get that out for an audience that is looking for that kind of material. And I have so many people tap me on the shoulder, how can I jump on this adventure? And so where I'm going to open Where in the World Adventures, and I'm going to keep continually going back, because I found the needs that I've run into around the world, I want other people to be able to experience that one. And I want to give the people fishing poles and teach them to fish rather than just feed them fish, if that makes sense. So it's been an amazing journey, and that's going to be continuing in the stories that I sent a couple of the beautiful Nepali women to beauty school. And I don't even know anything about hair, as you can probably see. I think I like to run because then I can just look all natural. But just to beautify them inside and out and give them a an industry. And we opened Take Care Salon in a little village in the middle of the Himalayas called Sotan. And you're going to just be able to watch the stories that unfold in that salon and the people that come and go and how they're able to help people, you know, in those situations, that kind of stuff. So I'm just going to keep running around the world and keep telling you about the people I meet and who I run into. I'm going to keep putting on those theme races until people get the courage to pick up a pair of shoes and just, even if they walk, if they spectate, you know, if they, you know, make outdoors, outdoor activities, something, it doesn't have to necessarily be running, is so really fun for me to watch. And the few, you know, we just launched this book. It has barely gotten out there. You guys don't know about it. That's why we're trying to tell you about it. But I see some comments and people going, oh my gosh, a friend turned me on this book. I'm not a runner, but this is what captivated me, this whole book. And I'm so incredibly glad I read it, because I feel like I can take control and I could take charge of my life. And, you know, and put some new things in it. So I have the Something for Everybody races, Karen Ware events. Even if you're not in Southern California, that's where I stage those events. They're themed, and we can put them on in your community, or you can go there and learn from them and see, you know, what races are and start researching your area. The cool part about running is that it's nationwide, worldwide. There's runs all over this world, and see who you can run into. And see what putting some activity and action into your life, especially if you're in a situation, and so many of us are, where it's just down and out right now, and you can't see the light inside that tunnel. You're stuck. You just fell down a crevasse, and you might have people telling you that you can't get out of it. And I'm going to tell you, I think you can.
So beautiful. All of the connections and links will be in the show notes. So if any of that excites you, please check them out below. Also, Karen, you are available if people are interested in having speakers or having you come to a race. You're available for that too, correct?
Absolutely. And I have, because I have it kind of going in three directions. I have KarenWareEvents.com, and I am Karen with the C on purpose. My mom wanted me to have the word care in my name. And what she also knew it would do is I would have to correct everyone on the spelling, and I would have to look people in the eye. And I was a shy kid. I had the hardest time. I'm Karen with the C. And now I'm everybody. I'm Karen with the C. So just remember care, where, it rhymes. And if you Google that, there's a YouTube channel, and I found a lot of people just like to go watch. If you want to watch some of the, as I ran these continent marathons, we just started getting into being able to do, you know, video on our phones and all that stuff. So just go in there and watch my story and see what it was like to be in Africa with the porters going up Kilimanjaro, wada wada, you know, in action. So,
and or I would say definitely watch the one on Patagonia. That was with the wind.
Yes. And you'll see why wind was such an issue for me. It would take my breath away. It would cause panic attacks and athlete asthma. So that was such a win for me to be in the wind and say, I got this. You know, I know how to push that panic and fear out of my life now. And what a win that was. And that's why I end this book with that. The finding or found that there was a lot found in the windswept reaches of that beautiful Patagonia. There's a world out there, you guys, and we want to go explore it.
And there's going to be a Karen out there helping you get to it. Karen, I'm wondering if you would close us out by turning to page 440 of your book. You give them a few, to the reader, to the listener today, just a few thoughts on what you'd like for them, what you wish for them. And I'm wondering if you could share those final five or six sentences there on page 440.
Yeah, you know, I end the book and then we're going to put an ending line in it to it. But may my journey help you summit yours. May you climb your mountains with confidence. May you build bridges with people, places, and yourself to make the climber climb for you easier, but for them also. May you share your heart openly with everyone you meet, and may you find you fit perfectly.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Karen, it's been such a pleasure. So much more to come. Thank you for today. Thank you for putting out this book. Thank you for everything you're sharing with everyone in the world. And readers, please follow her and keep following what she's doing. Great things.
And then I end this with a sincere thank you to Scripter Publishing, to you, Kelly, personally, for all the bits and pieces. It is a climb itself just to get a book out. It's daunting. And there were so many times where I said, Kelly, I don't think how is this going to come together? I don't think it's going to get done. And you were the person for me that grabbed you by the bootstraps and said, here's the next level, sit on this ledge for a while, look around, get your bearings, and then turn around and keep climbing. And that's what I hope this book does for all of you. Share it with us, you know, share with us. I just hope that my putting it out there in the world, that this hat takes legs and it starts running itself around the world, and it runs into you and into your heart. And then we just all, you know, pay it forward.
Pay it forward. Thank you so much, Karen.
Okay,
we'll be in touch very soon.
Okay.
Take care. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Karen is an extraordinary woman who is doing extraordinary things in the world. I hope you will continue to follow her. I will put all the links to connect you to her down below. She has so much more ahead of her, between places that she's going to be going in the world, places that she wants to take people in the world, and also just the relationships and the connections that she's making that I think are valuable for all of us. Plus, if you like to run, check out some of her running events. They are like no other. So lots of ways to connect and continue to follow her. Everything will be down below, including the link to her book. As always, thank you for joining us on It Just Takes One. If you or somebody you know is interested in writing a book and they aren't sure where to begin, hop on our website and schedule a free call. We're happy to answer any of your questions and help you go from dream to published.